Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Erechin Daf Chof Aleph. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins at the Mishnah that you find on Daf Chof Aleph, 15 lines from the top. Before we begin the actual Gemara, let us turn to the outside margin where we have a Nosei heading in the Gemara markings Shas Ozir, the Shas that appears on your screen. We offer a feature of topic, headings, and structural notes we call Mivneh when necessary. In this case, our topic heading reads, Pe'omim, at times, Mimashkinim al ma shechayev lahavi. We actually take out we take collateral regarding that which a person is obligated to bring as a result of his Beis HaMikdash obligations. Upomim ein memashkinen oso, and at times we don't take collateral from him. The Mishnah, chayve erechin memashkinen oson, when a person vows to give his erech to his erech value, his Torah value, to the Beis HaMikdash, in order to encourage him, so to speak, to make good on his vow, we will take from him some form of collateral, a mashkon. Chayve chatois vashamos ein memashkin anoison. People that are obligated to bring a chatos, a sin offering, or an osham offering. These are two types of offerings that afford a person atonement for sins having committed. So there is a built-in motivation for the individual to bring these types of sacrifices. These sacrifices, without which a person experiences certain restrictions, we'll say. So there's a built-in motivation to bring the chatos and osham. Therefore, there's no need for us to take a mashkon from him. Chayve oilois ushlamim memashkinin oison. People that are obligated to bring an olah type sacrifice or a shlamim type sacrifice, those kinds of sacrifices, we will take a mashkon from them. Rashi points out an olah and shlomim, even though the olah has some atonement capacity with regard to one who violates positive commands, since it's not obligatory on him, so we feel that if he, let us say, he vowed to bring an olah, there isn't sufficient motivation for him to bring it, and we're afraid that he'll delay. Therefore, we will take a mashkon from him, so that an olah and shlomim, since they don't have direct atonement power, or we can say, as far as the ability to atone for a positive command, it's not necessarily obligatory on him to bring an olah to achieve that atonement. Rather, if he brings an olah, he will receive that atonement. Therefore, there isn't sufficient motivation, and in order to encourage him to come up with it, to pay for it, and bring that sacrifice, we take a mashkon. Even though a person doesn't achieve atonement or benefit from his sacrifice until he agrees willingly to have it brought, the pasuk in the context of sacrifices says liritzono, with his according to his will, in other words, willingly. When you run into a situation where the person isn't so willing, we will force him till he reaches a point that he says, I want this. Similarly, with regard to the giving of a divorce document to a woman, there are cases that a man isn't so anxious, we'll say, putting it mildly, to divorce his wife, but it is necessary. we also apply this rule, koifenoisoi, where we'll force the man to give the get, but he has to express at the final moment, he has to say that he's doing so willingly. That's koifenoisoi, ad shiyoima roitze ani. Omar Rav Papa. Now, Rav Papa is introduced by our topic heading in the outside margin. Rav Papa, we've written, mevi dugmaois shel yoytzim na klala shoni b'mishnasenu. Rav Papa will introduce exceptions to the rules taught in our Mishnah. You'll notice before we get into the Gemara, we have a long point marking to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. This is a nun that's encircled, nun representing a nekuda, a point, and a vertical dashed line that shows that all of these lines of Gemara used to develop Rav Papa's point. So, Omar Rav Papa, Pa'omim Shechaive Chatois Mimashkinoson, Chaive Oilois Ein Mimashkinoson. Notice we've broken this down into Aleph and Beis, two points that Rav Papa makes that are contrary to that which the Mishnah teaches, and as Rav Papa says, these are exceptional cases. There are cases where, by a Chaive Chatos, people are obligated to bring a sin offering, though the Mishnah said we don't take collateral from them because the Mishnah feels there is sufficient motivation on the owner's part to bring it. But there are times that we will take a mashkon, says Rav Papa, in the case of someone who's chayav achatos. And similarly, there are times with regard to an ola offering that we, though the Mishnah said we do take mashkon from him, Rav Papa says we won't. It won't be necessary. Now, what are the cases? So the Gemara explains. You can see we've underlined and called Aleph and Beis, these two underlines. One is here, and a few lines later you notice the Beis. Chayve chatos memashkin arosan, bechatos nozir. This is a reference to the chatos that a nozir has to bring. A nozir is a person who accepted as a vow upon himself to restrict himself from wine for a period of 30 days, and there are other details that are characteristic of a nozir. He's not allowed to take a haircut, nor is he allowed to expose himself to tumas meis, to ritual defilement as a result of the dead. So, in the case of a chata, of a nozir, when he finishes his Nazirite period, if there's no specific time that was cited when he accepted the Nazirus upon him, it's understood to be a minimum of 30 days. So at the end of the 30 days, the Nazir brings several korbonos. He brings a chatos, an ola, and a shlomim. So with regard to the chatos Nazir, if one completes his Nazir period, we will take a mashkon, a collateral from the Nazir in order to motivate him to bring the korban chatos. The kevon, the omar mar, since it has been taught with regard to nazirus, im gilach al echod mishloshton yotza. We mentioned that a nazir brings three korbanos. If he took his haircut, which is a necessity at the end of the nazir period, he shaves his hair. So if at the end of the nozir period he brought one of the three korbanos, and based on that he shaved his hair, he has fulfilled his requirement. In other words, through the bringing of one sacrifice alone, that already entitles him to have this haircut done. V'nizrak olav echod min hadomim, if one of the three sacrifices was offered with the blood sprinkled, Hutar hanozir lushtois yayin ulitame lemesim. Therefore, posha bovelo maisi. With the sprinkling of the of one of the three sacrifices, hutar hanozir lushtois. That means the nozir becomes eligible to now drink wine and to expose himself to tumas meis, to participate in funerals, etc. Therefore, through the bringing of one of the sacrifices, we mentioned he brings a chatas, ola, and shlomim. If he brought even the shlomim offering and had not yet brought the chatas offering, we see that he exits all of the nozir practices. He finishes, he completes it, and is able to return to normal life. Therefore, posha bovelo maisi means he might very well be lax and negligent in bringing the other korbanos. And in this case, we're saying that he hasn't yet brought the chatos. Therefore, Rav Papa says, we will take a mashkon from him in order to encourage him to bring the chatos as well. Chayvei oilois ein memashkinin oison. When is there a case that we don't have to take a mashkon to motivate a person to bring a korban olah? So we'll skip the next two lines, which you see in brackets momentarily, and we read ba'oilas metzora. That's in the case of a metzora. A metzora, when he completes his tzoras, he brings several korbanos, including a korban olah. The Metzora, when he finishes his Tzoras period, he brings an Olah, a Chatos, and an Osham. So, with regard to the Metzora, in order for him to, return to normal living after the Tzoras period, which for him was a period of time that he was kept away from the community, he was sent out of the community, he was forbidden to participate in sacrificial activities and sort of eating korbanos and a number of other halachas that apply to a mitzora. So in order for him to get out of his mitzora restrictions, so to speak, all three korbanos are ma'akev. All three mitzora korbanos or makiv are binding, so he knows that he won't be able to restore himself to normal living without bringing each one, including the oila. Therefore, there is no necessity to take a mashkon from the mitzora in anticipation of his oila bringing. And that point is brought out in the Brisa that follows. However, we'll go over this Gemara again, but we'll now read, including the bracketed section, starting from the underlined bays, where it says, Chayvei oilois ein memashkin anosan. Now, in the brackets, there is a point that's raised as a possible hesber, an explanation of the case of Ola that's not memashkin anosan. However, it's rejected. The diamonds that you see are attempts to emphasize under our Mivneheri, you can see we've written with where the diamond is featured in the outside margin, Be'eza Ola Ein Memashkino. So which kind of Ola was Rav Papa referring to when he said that there's no need to take a mashkon from the owner? So here the Gemara says, Chayve Oilos Ein Memashkino Son, and in the brackets, Be'oilas Yoiledes, a woman who gave birth, she is obligated to bring sacrifices in order for her to be able to, after the childbirth, in order for her to be able to eat from sacrifices. So a yoledes, a woman who bore who gave birth, has to bring sacrifices. Amongst the sacrifices she brings is an oila, and the feeling is right now, by suggesting that her oila will be brought without external motivation or incentive, namely the mashkon taking. Why? The feeling right now is that the ola is ma'akev, prevents her from eating sacrifices. So she is motivated to bring the ola, without which she won't be able to participate in achilas kochim. So the Gemara now challenges that as the example of the oila that Rav Papa was talking about. Mainihu, what is it that makes you think that the olas yoledes is special in that it will prevent her from eating kochim, and hence she's internally motivated? Well, the akta mekra, is it because it appears first in the series of sacrifices that the yoledes, that this woman is expected to bring? Because it was mentioned in the Torah first, it gives it a certain preeminence, that without which she cannot eat sacrifices. Well, but that's not really accurate. V'ha'omar rova, l'mikro hikdimo hakosuv. The Ola appears first only in so far as that's what's read first when you read the Torah. But as far as the Ola being a binding factor on her, or a preventive factor on her, the consumption of sacrifices, that is not true. So just to say that again, its preeminence is only it is only because it's the first thing that's read, but that is not indicative of it being me'akev, preventing her from eating sacrifices. The Rashi says, "V'omar Rava l'mikra hikdimo hakosuf shtei nikreis b'mikra tchila," only to show that it's read first, "v'lo shetikrav tchila," but not that it must be the first one that's offered. And that's pointed out by Perikola Todir Maseches Vochim. So the Gemara then goes on to what is the Ola that we say will have sufficient motivation on the part of the owner to bring it without needing to take a mashkon from him. Ela ba'olas mitzora. This is a reference to, as we mentioned earlier, the Ola brought by a mitzora at the end of his tzoras period. The Sanya of Shmuel ben Oisha Rabbi Yochanan Broika Oimer. We see in this brisa that the Gemara brings that Rabbi Shmuel tells us, "Kishem shechatosoi v'ashamu ma'akvosoi, kach oilosoi me'akvosoi." Just like the chatos and osham sacrifices restrict, are binding, that without which he would still be restricted, so too the ola sacrifice is ma'akev, is binding, without which he would not be able to return to normal living. So, as we said before, the ola that a mitzora brings there's sufficient motivation here on his part without having to take a mashkon from him. The afal pi she'ein miskaper loy ad sheyisratze. The Mishnah mentioned that a person must agree to the offering of the sacrifice in order for it to be acceptable. And nevertheless, there are situations that we will force him to reach a point where he will finally agree to it being offered. In other words, you're dealing with a person that's not initially is not so willing to bring the sacrifice or to pay for it and have it brought. Tonu Rabbonan, Yakriv Oisoi. This is in the Parsha dealing with sacrifices. Melamed Shekoifen Oso. The Torah says that Yakriv Oso, that he must offer it, indicating that we'll even force him. Yochol Baal Korcho. Does that mean that even against his will? Talmud Lomar Liritso. No. No, it has to be willing. Ha Ketzad. How do you resolve this? These two points of forced and willingness? So the answer is, we apply pressure to him, force, until he finally says, "I want this." As we continue in the Gemara, we notice a new geometric form, a volcano shape, as we fondly refer to it. It's a trapezoid. And on the outside margin, we have a Nosei Mivneh heading introducing this section. The trapezoid will be around Shmuel, Shitos Shmuel, the Ula. Ula you'll find on Omid Beis, also marked the same way. B'masai tzrichin das bailim ba'ula. When do we require the knowledge of the owner when it comes to the bringing of an Ola? The knowledge, the awareness of the Ola, of the Ola bringing, and we can say das meaning the willingness, the approval of the owner. Bishas hafrosha oy bishas kapora. Is this willingness necessary at the time the animal is set aside, designated as a sacrifice, or at the time the person is receiving atonement, namely at the time it's actually being offered in the Beis HaMikdash? Now the Gemara. Omar Shmuel, Oila Tzricha Das. The bringing of a Korban Ola requires the knowledge and approval of the owner. Shinemar Liritzonoi. The Pasuk says, with his willingness. My komash malon, what is Shmuel informing us that we wouldn't know already? Tanina, it has been taught in our Mishnah. Afal pi she'ein miskaper loy ashe yisratze shenem alirutzono. The Mishnah itself was aware, made it known that a person doesn't achieve his Ola requirements until he brings it willingly, as the Pasuk says, Liritzono. What is Shmuel adding? Loi tzricha. Shmuel is necessary regarding a different case. De Porish Le Chavre. We're talking about a case where someone else set aside an Ola on behalf of this person. Mahu detema. So one might have thought, ki bo'inon das, when is das, when is approval required mididay? When it's a person himself setting aside his own sacrifice. And as Rashi adds, for example, when Bezdin moves in to take a mashkon from him, as we saw in the Mishnah, we saw that a mashkon, a collateral, is taken from someone who has an ola obligation. So under such circumstances, since he's being forced, so to speak, to bring the ola through Bezdin's taking from him a mashkon, therefore I need for him to say, I agree, I'm doing this willingly. Avol, mi dechavrei lo. But if someone else is bringing the ola on this person's behalf, maybe the beneficiary's knowledge and acceptance isn't necessary. Komash Malon, Shmuel tells us, Zimnin delo nichole delichba b'midi delo didei. At times, a person is not satisfied with receiving his atonement and sacrificial requirements fulfilled through the means of someone else. People like to do things on their own. They don't want the feeling that someone else is doing it for them, or in this case, bringing the korban on their behalf. So because of this mindset, that there are people like that, Shmuel says we need to have the beneficiary's acceptance. Meisvei. Now the Gemara raises a kasha on Shmuel. Shmuel up till now told us that an ola requires das. We'll see a Tanaic source that features different kinds of sacrifices, and on the this source continues till the top of Amud Beis. And at the end of the latter part of this source, we will see a reference to an ola. And it says in this source that an ola, when brought by someone else, it's a direct parallel to Shmuel's case. Someone else is bringing the korban on his friend's behalf. When it comes to an ola, the source will tell us even shelo ledas, even without his knowledge, there is a fulfillment of the sacrificial obligation. So to go over the point, Shmuel said that when someone else is bringing an ola on behalf of his friend, the beneficiary has to express approval. We will see a source that would indicate that the beneficiary doesn't have to express approval when it comes to the ola. Now the case, the source, Meisvei. Someone is accepting upon himself to bring his friend's chatas and osham obligations. Ledas yotza, shelo ledas lo yotza. If the beneficiary, the miskaper, is aware and approves, so then the requirements are fulfilled. If the beneficiary is not aware, then there is no fulfillment of the requirement. Now this is the case we have to emphasize, and we're using dashed underlines to focus our question. Someone is willing to bring on behalf of his friend an ola or shlomim. Bein ledas, bein shaloi ledas yotza. And here we've dashed underlined also the expression shalo ledas yotza. So we have here an ola, shalo ledas yotza. That's contrary to Shmuel. Omar loch Shmuel. Shmuel responds, ki tanyo hahi bishas kapora. The source that says you don't require das bailim, that is talking about
at the time the sacrifice is being processed, it's offered in this in the Beis Hamikdash, the Irtzi B'Shas HaFrosha, there was already an expression of willingness at the time the Korban was set aside. So that as far as this source is concerned, there is no challenge to Shmuel. Shmuel that mentioned there has to be Das when someone else is set, is bringing an Ola on behalf of his friend, that is true. As according to Shmuel, at the time of Hafrosha, when the animal is designated as an Ola on behalf of his friend. The source that says no Das is required, Das is not binding with an Ola, that is when it's actually being offered. In other words, as long as the beneficiary was aware at the time the animal was designated, even though he's not aware that his korban is being processed right now in the Beis Hamikdash, that's okay. So the Gemara goes on to say, Ki ko'amino, Shmuel is saying, when I said my din, ki ko'amino ano, when I said my din, that you do have to have das, that's b'shas hafrosha. Upliga de'ula, the approach Shmuel takes, namely, that Das is required at Shas HaFrosha and not at Shas Kapora, this is at odds with Ula. It's the opposite of Ula. The Omar Ula, Ula has a different opinion. Lo chilku bein chatos li oilo, elo shechatos tzricha das b'shas hafrosha, ve'oilo ein tzricha das b'shas hafrosha. There is, Ula says, there is no difference between an Ola and a chatos with regard to these topics, except for the fact that an Ola does not require intent or knowledge at the time it's being set aside. The Ola does not require, as we say, this knowledge. Avol b'shas kapora ivi v'idi ledas yotza shaloi ledas lo yotza. However, both the chatas and Ola, when it comes to shas kapora, when it's actually being processed, both, we can say regarding both types of sacrifice, Ola and Chatos, that only Lidas Yotza, if there is awareness on the part of the beneficiary, will there be fulfillment of the requirement. If there's no knowledge, so then there is no fulfillment. So, as you can see, through the markings, looking at the dashed underlining, Shmuel, above Ula, said that you need Das B'Shas HaFrosha. Notice Ula, where we dashed underline. Under Ula's name, the dash underlining says, the Ola ain't Sricha Das B'Shas HaFrosha. So on that point, there is an argument. What about the Shas Kapora? So according to Shmuel, notice the dot underlining that we have here. Above, the third line from the top, we have a dot underline under the expression Kitanyahi, the brisa that said you don't need das, that's b'shas kapora. What about Ula? Notice the dot underlining. With regard to Ula, we have b'shas kapora and also dot underline l'das yotza. You need to have das, b'shas kapora. So, regarding these two points in time, shas hafrosha and shas kapora, Shmuel and Ula argue with one another. Meisvei, we have a Tanaic source, and we will see shortly that this Tanaic source presents a problem for both Ula and Shmuel. Chatoso v'yashomoi oloso ushlomov shalploni olai. Someone dedicates all kinds of sacrifices for his friend, on behalf of his friend. So a person has some individual may have korban requirements, and his friend comes along and accepts upon himself his fellow friend's obligations. The source says, Ladas yotza, shelo ladas lo yotza. Only if there is awareness will be fulfillment. If there is lack of awareness and approval, there is no fulfillment. So according to this source, with regard to all of these sacrifices, there has to be das. That is a problem for Ula and Shmuel, who made allowance for a lack of das and still being okay. So the Gemara answers, Shmuel muki lo b'shas hafrosha, and Ula muki lo b'shas kapora. this source that said that das is me'akev, that there has to be das, Shmuel says, well, I agree there has to be das. When? Shas hafrosha. And if you glance back at Shmuel, you'll notice where we have our dashed underlining. That's in fact what it says. That's what Shmuel said. Ula will tell you, when is it that you need to have das? That's bishas kapora. And if you look back at Ula, where we dot underlined, you could see that he said, bishas kapora, you have to have das. So the source that emphasizes the necessity of das, Shmuel and Ula, each one explain it according to the way they presented their opinions above. Omar Rav Papa, masnaiso ahadodi lo kashyon. As far as the Tanaic sources that we've seen in this sugya, they're not contradictory with one another. What would you have thought might be a contradiction? Well, at the second line from the top, we saw at the end of the source there, it said that shelo ledas yotza. Here we have a Tanaic source that says only ledas yotza, only with knowledge and approval will one fulfill. So the Gemara points out, Rav Papa points out, these sources are not at odds with one another. Ha bishas kapora, ha bishas hafrosha. One source is referring to the shas kapora, the time it's being processed in the Beis HaMikdash, and the other source is talking about the initial setting aside of the sacrifice. Now, which source is talking about which time? So if we look in Rashi, Masnaiso ahadodi lo kashan, ha dikotoni leel oilosu shlomov shelploni olai. Bein ledas, bein shalodas, yotso, this source on the top that said that even shalodas one would be yotse with the ola and shlomim. V'hach basreisa dikotoni beku shalodas lo yotso. And the second source that said with all sacrifices, if there's lack of das, one does not fulfill his requirements. Lo kashin adadi, there is no contradiction. Chado b'shas kabara, one source is talking about at the time of the actual processing. V'chado b'hafrosha, and the other source is talking about the time of the animal being set aside, designated as a sacrifice. Now, at which time is das required? Well, le'ulo kideusle, le'shmuel kideusle. Each one of the amoroyim will tell you which circumstance requires the das, as we already explained. So the Rav Papa is pointing out that the sources themselves are not contradictory. Ula amoroi nami lo kashya, and as far as the sources presenting a challenge to our amoroim, Ula and Shmuel, there is no problem. Shmuel muki komaiso b'shas kapora. Shmuel will establish the first source that said you don't need to have das. That's at the time of the korban being offered. Basraiso b'shas hafrosha, and the second source that says you do have to have das. That's at the time it's being set aside. Just as we saw above, this little piece of Gemara is simply a review of what we said earlier. And Ula, Muki, Ibcha, Ula will set up the two sources in the opposite way of Shmuel. In other words, the first source which says you don't need das, that's Shas HaFrosha. The second source which says you do need to have das, that, according to Ula, will be B'Shas Kapora. Amoroi Vadai Pligi. The Amoroyim, though, Ula and Shmuel, they are definitely arguing with one another. So the Gemara says, Pshita, it would seem to be obvious that they're arguing with one another. So the Gemara answers, Mahu detema, my Bishas Hafrosha dekoma Shmuel. One might have thought that when Shmuel said that Bishas Hafrosha, you need to have das, what did Shmuel mean? Af Bishas Hafrosha. Even at the time of Hafrosha, meaning in addition to Shas Kapora, like Ula, you have to have Das even at the Shas Hafrosha. Maybe that's what Shmuel said. And if that is true, the Afal Gav Dahach Komaiso Tiyufte, even though the first source would be a challenge to such a position, that, according to our Havamina, wouldn't disturb us. It wouldn't be the end of the world, because Shmuel could always say that I'm relying on the second source. The second source says that you have to have das, and Shmuel, according to this Havamina, is saying also that you have to have das all the time. So Komash Molon, there, this is what Rav Popa comes to tell us. Rav Popa, in making his presentation, that saying that the Amoraim are definitely arguing, what is Ula accomplishing? He is showing us that the original Gemara at the top, in other words, the way we resolved Shmuel with the sources above, is the way to learn Shmuel's Shita, and not according to this Havamina. And the way we explained the Gemara above, the answers, the resolutions that we gave above, stated that Shmuel's requirement of Das is only B'Shas HaFrasha, not Af B'Shas HaFrasha. And when it came to Shas Kapara, so Shmuel there does not require Das. V'chein B'Gitei Noshim Koifin V'chulei. We said in the Mishnah that we find by the preparing and delivery of a divorce document from a husband to a wife, the husband has to have, there are circumstances where the husband may be forced into giving the get, but at the actual presentation of the get, he must declare Rotzani, that I'm doing this willingly and not by force. Omar Rav Sheshes, Haiman de Mosar Moido Agita. Modo'e modo'a. A man who is being forced to give a divorce document. So we the public would see a document being written up in anticipation of it being given to his wife. His giving it to his wife. If he is moiser modo'a, that means he makes a declaration. And he says, let it be known that this document is being prepared with my under duress, with my objection. That declaration is a binding, is binding, and that would basically cancel the validity of the get, of the divorce document. The Gemara asks, Pshita, this point that Rav Sheshes is bringing out would seem to be obvious. What is Rav Sheshes telling us that we wouldn't know? Namely, if a person announces, if he declares that the get that is being approved is being done, prepared is done with my disapproval, so it's not a good get. A get has to be done with willingness. Loi tzricha, I need Rav Sheshes de asa'uha v'irtzi. We're dealing with a person that was forced to give a get, and he finally agreed. At the end, he agrees. Mahu detemo mistamo bitule batle la moda. Reading the Gemara with Rashi's girsa that says that I might have thought that a person who had offered, who had stated a moda, declaration of disapproval, that when he comes to say Rotsa'ani, when he says I'm doing this willingly, that would be the cancellation of his prior expressed disapproval. Komash Malon, Rav Sheshes tells us De'im kein lisni ad sheyitain. The Mishnah should have simply said Koifinoso ad sheyitain. My ad sheyoymar. What does the Mishnah mean by this expression? It says ad sheyoymar rotsani. That means ad demivatel le lemodoe. He has to express in an explicit fashion that he is canceling his prior expressed disapproval. So that it's not enough, according to Rav Sheshes, if a person had, let us say, expressed disapproval upon the preparation of a divorce document, and they went ahead and prepared it, and he was forced, and then he said, Rotsani, okay, I'm doing this willingly. It's not enough. He would have to say, I'm doing this willingly, and I'm hereby canceling my prior announced disapproval. We now continue with the next perek, the sixth perek of Erechin. The Mishnah. Shum hayisoimim shloshim yom. Orphans that inherited property from their father, and the court gets involved with the need of these yisoimim to pay off debts that their father was obligated in. So an announcement is made concerning the sale of these properties for a period of 30 days. And the announcement essentially says anyone who wants to come and buy should come and buy, and the money that the Yesomim will receive for the sale of their lands would then be used to pay off the debts. So the Shum HaYesomim, this is, Shum literally is an evaluation, but it's in this case it's an evaluation of the land in addition to an announcement made regarding the sale. The Rashi says, Shum HaYesomim, Beis Din HaYordim L'Nichsi Yesom L'Mochron, Beis Din who descends upon the properties of orphans to sell them, L'Hagvois L'Bal Chov, in order to pay off creditors, Shomen Es HaKarka, they evaluate the lands, the value of the lands, U'machrizin Shloishim Yoim, and they announce over a period of 30 days, Kol Aroitz Elikach Yovo V'Yikach, anyone who wants to come and buy should come and buy. So the Mishnah tells us that this announcement period spans 30 days. Veshum HaHekdish, the treasurer of the Beis HaMikdash that is selling lands of the Beis HaMikdash, that means lands that were dedicated to the Beis HaMikdash. Beis HaMikdash isn't going to have any, doesn't really have much to do with actual real estate, but the value of the real estate, that's something that the Beis HaMikdash will use for sacrifices and for temple repair. So the Shum, the announcement concerning the impending sale of properties that were dedicated to the Beis HaMikdash, Shishim Yoim, that is going to extend over a period of 60 days, U'machrizin ba'boikir u'ba'erev, and the announcement concerning the sale is done in the morning and in the afternoon or the evening. Before going on in the Gemara, we glance at the outside margin under our No Say heading. We have the following, Hatam Shemachrizin Babokir Ubo Erev. The Gemara will discuss the reason for morning and evening announcements. Al Mechiris Karkos Shel Yesomim Oy Litashlum Ksubas Isha. The announcement regarding these the sales of the property of the Yesomim for the for payment of debts or the payment of almonas, the widows, the surviving widows, ksuba obligation. The Gemara. Maishno baboker uboerev. What is special about these two time periods? What's the necessity of having an announcement made in the morning and in the evening? The Gemara answers, Omar of Yudah, this answer spans a number of lines. You can see we've used a long answer marking to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, a teretz, which is the tuf is encircled with a descending dashed line. Omar Rav Yehuda Marav, Bishas hoitzoas poyalim u'bishas hachnosas poyalim. Bishas hoitzoas poyalim, according to Tosfos, that's in the evening, that's what the Mishnah mentioned was bo'erev, when the workers are sent home from their work, and bishas hachnosas poyalim in the morning, when they come to their work site. The Gemara explains all of this in greater detail now. Bishas hoitzoas poelim, an announcement is made toward the evening when workers are sent home from their various work sites. De'iko de'nicho le'mizvan, there may be people out there, owners, men of means that want to buy land. upon hearing an announcement in the evening, Omar Luhu Lepolim, he'll say to his workers on that that are going home, Easy Lu, Sairu Lo Nihali. On your way home, go and check out the property, see of what quality it is, see if it's a good thing. Bishas Hachnosas Poyalim, in the morning, another announcement is echoed at the time the workers are coming back to their work site. The Nidkar, this will remind the owner or the Balabos, the interested party, it will remind him to inquire of his workers what did they see the previous evening. The Omar Lahu, Nazil, Nishailinu, that we're basically announcing to the in the morning, so that the owner will go and ask his workers, what did you see? Did you see something that's worthwhile? Tanyo Nami Hochim, we have a Tanaic source that explains what we just said, that mentions that the Boker and Erev are tied into the times that workers leave their work sites and come back. The Brisa says, Shum HaYisoymim Shloshim Yoim, Vishum HaHekdish Shishim Yom, the announcement time for orphan property sales is over 30 days, and for Beis HaMikdash property sales, 60 days. Umachrizin Baboker Ba'erev, Bishas Hoitzoas Poilim, Bishas Achnosas Poilim. Notice we've dashed, underlined this, because this is really what the Brisa is being brought in to show, that that which the Gemara explained, that which Rav Yehuda Amar Rav explained, is backed up by this Tanaic source. Omer, the announcement states, Sode Ploni, the Simono of Mitzrayel, a specific field, and it's denoted what its signs are and what its boundaries are. Tachi Yofe, it produces such and such amount of grain. The Kachi Shumo, and this is what Beis Din is evaluated the field's value at. Kol Roitzel Likach Yavo V'Yikach. Anyone who wants to come and buy should come and make their offer. Al Menas Litein Liisha B'Ksubasa Ulebal Chol B'Choyvoy. And the reason for the sale of this property is in order to pay off a woman, her ksuba. That is, in the case of the Yisomen, there is a man who died, leaving a widow and her ksuba requirements. This is the money that a man obligates to pay his wife in the case of their marriage coming to an end, and in this case, through his death. That's the ksuba payment. And there's also a possibility that the properties are being sold in order to pay the creditors their due monies. Loma li lemeimar amanas litein lisha ksubasu b'chov chova. Why is it necessary to specify why the orphan properties are being sold? In other words, why is it necessary to detail that it's sold either to pay off a ksuba or to pay off debts? The Gemara answers, the what we gain, what's gained by having it specified why the property is being sold, de'ika de'nichole b'baal choiv, and shortly the Gemara will say, and there's some that prefer the woman. We'll go over this again. There are people that would rather deal. In other words, they're going to pay money for property that the monies are going to be paid off to pay a creditor. There's a certain advantage in such a case. And there's some that will find an advantage in having the monies paid to a woman. Now, the Gemara explains this. We'll read this again. There's some people who are purchasing, who are going to now pay out money, the money being used to pay off the creditors of the deceased. The Mekal Bezuzi, a Baal Chov, is willing to accept coinage, currency, monies that are rubbed out, a little bit chipped, a little broken, so that the balabos here who's interested in paying has a certain amount of we'll call flexibility or possibilities with regard to what kind of money he can use to buy the property. So that it might be, for him, advantageous to know that he has money, but the money, the type of currency that he has isn't of the greatest quality. He'll be able to pay for the field using this poor quality currency, because the money is going to a Baal Chov, who Rashi calls him a socher. He's probably a businessman that deals with currency back and forth, a lot of overturn of monies, a lot of commerce back and forth, and hence people aren't so particular about the quality of the actual coinage they get. However, there is also v'ikah d'nichole b'isha d'shokla al yad. There are those that would prefer buying property using and the money going to pay off a woman's ksuba. The woman is not interested necessarily in receiving the lump sum, so that when someone is buying a field knowing that the money is going to be paying off a woman's ksuba, he knows that he can pay for the field that he's buying in installments. That's al-yad. Al-yad, small amounts at each time. So that it is of value for the public to know why the fields are being sold, to present these different options for the buying public. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.